Greetings. Welcome back to the Cape Lead Revolution. Once again, this is Chachi, and today I kind of want to have, I think, more of a little bit of a philosophical conversation about a topic that I've been thinking about for the past few weeks, and realistically, the past few months, you know, if I were to be honest with you. And this goes back to a theory that I ended up developing in January of 2016. And this is a podcast that I did at the beginning of the year, episode 1919, called Presented Reality. And the thought of that is, just because you witness it, just because it happens, that becomes your truth, but it is not the fact. Again, just because you witness it, just because you live it, just because you heard somebody say it out of their mouth, that becomes your truth, but it is not the fact, I guess, all the time. And the example that I use is, you could hear me say that Joe Smith is the worst person in the world as you're casually walking by, where you did in fact hear me say that. But what you didn't hear prior to me walking up is, man, Joe is awesome. And there's one thing you'll never hear me say, is that Joe Smith is the worst person in the world. So again, so just understanding this ends up being huge. And then the thing I want to bring up today is the difference between perception and perspective. Perception and perspective, because everyone always says perception is reality. And this kind of goes back to what I was talking about, is perception isn't reality. It's just your truth. And I think we need to understand the difference between truth and fact. And not to piggyback too much on that topic, but what I did was I went back and kind of researched these words. And I went and had to find the difference in these two, just because, again, if you've listened to me at all, you know that I do not believe in synonyms whatsoever. So when I look at the word perspective, the first definition has to do with art and how we see things and draw things. And the second one is a particular attitude or way of regarding something, a point of view. Now, that makes sense to me. So I understand that. So a particular attitude or way of regarding something, a point of view. And if we go to perceive, it says to become aware or conscious of something and come to realize or understand. And then the second one is interpret or lock on in a particular way or to regard as. So these are very, very similar. Now, the thing that I would like to offer, my definition of these two words and the difference in these two, is that perceive is just you taking snapshots in time. This is what's up. Boom. You took a snapshot. Now, the difference between perceive and perspective, or perception and perspective, is one of two things for me can happen. The difference here is that you're taking a whole lot more photos in order to make a video. And now you have a movie going through because so many photos were taken. Or you can understand perspective as the difference between not just that I took a picture with how I perceive things, but now you are starting to judge, critique, or evaluate that picture based off of your own value systems. And I guess possibly thirdly is a combination of those two. And so, you know, if you take enough snapshots in time of these events, you're going to start to form an opinion. You're going to have some measure of judgment. And I don't mean necessarily judgment in a bad way, just that you are applying your values to this situation, I think, is what's going to end up being a judgment. But you start having that. And you start talking to people about different things. And I think the important thing for here, for us, is to understand that perception isn't reality. That is not my takeaway from this. Now, I get that in a common American vernacular. That is a very catchy phrase. But perception definitely isn't reality. Perception ends up being your truth. That's it. But what we can do here is now, if you agree with me and you understand the points I'm trying to make, is that perception equals your truth, not fact. Now you can start to have a conversation. And now you can start to ask yourself, hey, I perceived this, or I perceived A, B, and C. Now, because I perceived A, B, and C, I'm now going to have a perspective on this. I have seen A, B, and C. I have evaluated A, B, and C. I have more information on A, B, and C. Perhaps I have more past experience with A, B, and C. And now we can start having a conversation. But the difference is, if you perceive something to me, then simply a data point. If you perceive something, that is just a quick moment in time, absent a whole lot of the other things that I talk about when I think of perspective. We're not going to talk about family or education or training or experiences or successes and failures. This is just you marking a fact that A, B, or C happened. And perhaps you're going to take all the information available at the time to help perceive this better, to take a better, clearer picture. But then what we need to do is to move that perception into a perspective, or I guess, and or lack thereof. And understanding whether you can have, I don't know if I want to call them high perspectives or low perspective, right? Because when I talk about expectations, there's realistic versus unrealistic. But perhaps we can talk about maybe a quality perspective versus a shit perspective. Because I know there's a lot of things that happen during my work and people ask me things. And one of the things that I'm fond of saying is like, hey, I have limited experience with this. You know, any advice that I give you is going to be relatively ignorant because I've never had to deal with this before. And so that has helped my bosses a couple times, and they've appreciated the times where I said, hey, I'm going to give you my opinion, but my opinion right here, right now, may not count for shit because I've never had to do this before. So that's a very interesting way of going about our day, going about our interactions, and going about with our understanding of what is happening in the world around us. So right here, right now, I'm walking around through my neighborhood in Phoenix, Arizona, on the north side of Camelback Mountain by Two Bit Peak, and I perceive a whole lot. I can perceive these wonderful houses that are out here. They're absolutely gorgeous. I know that it's a pretty nice fall day as far as it comes to Arizona standards. I was watching Monday Night Football, and I could see that everyone was dressed in long coats and gloves, and I'm out in shorts and a t-shirt right now, right? So I can understand a little bit more about different things. But even if we go there, right? So using that example, watching Monday Night TV, and I'm seeing Steve Young on TV, and he's in a jacket. And people around him are wearing gloves and jackets. So I perceive that. I could perceive that it is cold there. Now, here's the thing, is that because I saw that, I can now apply my perspective to that situation. And I could talk about different perspectives. I could come from the perspective of, hey, I wish I was up there feeling that true coldness of it being a fall day, halfway through October 2019. It's a fall day, like jeans and sweatshirt is definitely my favorite kind of weather to go out and wear stuff. I know a lot of people feel the same way, and I absolutely adore fall. So that ends up being nice, and I enjoy that type of thing. So like, man, I have the perspective of, gosh, I could really enjoy that weather right now. I also have the perspective of, I really enjoy wearing shorts and flip-flops to work like I did yesterday. So that ends up being great. And again, these are all the things that we can perceive. And again, perceive isn't necessarily just what you see. It's a quick analysis of what you see. Because I could watch that on TV and be like, okay, I got three people on TV. They're at a football game. They're giving commentary. But looking at it closer, I could see the difference in weather just by what they were wearing on TV. And the differences between what was happening in Green Bay, Wisconsin versus what's happening here in Phoenix, Arizona. And now I can perceive these differences. And then as I evaluate that mental snapshot that I took of the three people at halftime commentating on the game, now I can talk about my perspective. And when I talk about my perspective, I can really figure out for myself, again, how much past experience and how much information is available for me to judge this one way or the other. And I don't necessarily mean judging in a bad way, but I guess, you know, people inherently think of it badly. But I can judge something for very, very great reasons. And there's a lot of times, like when we give feedback, you know, feedback can either be judgment or a critique. And by that, like somebody could come out and, you know, one of my best friends comes out and he's wearing, like Ross did on Friends, where he comes out wearing the black leather pants. And so we could have a critique of, I don't think those pants work for you. Or I can have a judgment of, I don't think those pants work for you. What is wrong with you? How could you possibly think that that was a good look? Those are the differences to me between a critique and a judgment. But at the same time, you could say, wow, I don't think those pants look good on you, but I give you credit for trying something new. Perhaps this is a new trend coming out and I'm just not with it yet. That's judgment too. So we can give this feedback based off of our perspective and based off of our perception. But I think we need to have the presence of mind to understand it one way or the other. And when we do that, then we are learning. I like when people are friendly and they say good morning as we walk by. So this ends up being huge when we're talking about how we understand things and how we have these conversations with people. Like if we're going to give feedback, again, based off of our perception and or perspective, but we should take time and analyze what those actually mean to us. So I'm going to ask you here, have you thought about the differences in those two words, perception and perspective? Have you thought about your understanding or lack thereof of those two words? And have you thought about how you use these words and what they mean to you, perhaps in a life context or definitely in a leadership context? Have you sat back and evaluated or have the presence of mind, have the emotional intelligence to sit back and say, hey, just because I see something doesn't mean it's the facts. Just because I experience something doesn't mean it's all facts. Just because I'm applying my values and my value-based system to this event or this situation, do you have the presence of mind to see that, hey, maybe these aren't the facts? Maybe it's your truth. And do you have the emotional intelligence to be open-minded enough to have a conversation about it? That, I think, is a pretty cool conversation. That, I think, is a great way of leading. Because there's a lot of times, and I brought this up before, and I have no idea why this has stuck with me for all these years. But as a young airman at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, this was probably spring of 1996, I had a buddy named Ryan Totsky. And Ryan and I are still friends. We speak once every 5 years, maybe once every 10 years. Haven't seen him in 20. But, you know, he and I were kind of growing up in the unit together, and he and I had a lot of fun. But I remember one morning something happened. I forget what it was. And I think I've mentioned this on my podcast a time or two. Is that something happened and he was late to work. I'm doing air quotes here for late to work. something was going on. And this is before the days of text messaging. This is before the days of email. You know, these are the days where nobody had a cell phone. Like, they were just now starting to think about coming out. And so not everybody had one. Or if they had one, they were scarcely in use. Or they only used it from Friday night to Sunday night, because that's when the free weekends. So anyway, I remember sitting in the office and everyone was thinking about how wrong he was and that he was in trouble. And I remember vividly thinking to myself, I'm like, oh, he is screwed. And I was trying to give benefit of the doubt. Like, even back then, even before I knew benefit of the doubt was a thing, even before I knew how much time and energy and how many years I would devote to the study of leadership and to my understanding of benefit of the doubt. And that's a great thing to do when we first start out building trust with our teammates. But I said, hey, like, there's, man, I looked at every angle. At every angle, I'm like, he is screwed. Like, there's nothing that he can do to justify this, and he's going to take a beating. And everyone around me, without saying so, had developed that similar conclusion based on the conversation that we were having. And I knew that he was screwed. Like, this was not going to end up well for Ryan. And about 20 minutes later, he shows up at work, and one of the bosses there, who was just a jerk, lashes out, "Where the hell were you?" And I totally forget his answer. I have no idea what his answer was. But to this day, I remember the way I felt. Because I was his judge, jury, and executioner, just like they were. And they had asked, where were you? In that way where they didn't even mean it. Like, they weren't seeking answers. They had already crucified him. But... they just kind of like, man, where were you? Just kind of having it out there. And just like, that was their prelude to how they were just going to, again, just crucify him and just beat him against the wall and do all that stuff. And a very quick, because he didn't know the shitstorm he was walking into. Had no idea. I mean, how could he? And I forget what his answer was, but he says, yeah, hey, I was blah. Or, hey, I told you yesterday that I had blah. I think maybe that was it, that he had told someone he had an appointment. And everyone had forgotten about it. And then when they looked up on the wall somewhere, like, sure enough, there it was written down that he was gonna be there. But I will never forget that feeling. And the lesson that I learned is that from what I could perceive, there was nothing that was going to save his bacon. But me, as a young airman, I had a limited perspective. As a young guy, my perspective was such that I didn't have the capacity to understand all the different things that could be at play that would possibly affect his morning. But I'm very thankful that I learned that lesson so early on in my career. And it's very difficult. And I know when there's times, and it happens at work, and somebody does a bonehead move and something goes awry. And from what you see, like, it is plain as day that there is no way that there is something possible that could happen that could justify these actions or to make this go away. And then, at a rough estimate, about half the time there's something. Or a lot of times, perhaps it doesn't completely alleviate what had happened. But when you have these conversations, you can come out and realize that, hey, maybe it wasn't as clear to this person as it was to me. And if I was that leader, just because I said I needed it done by 10 o'clock, right? And that's fair, but perhaps I said, hey, I want this done by 10 o'clock, but maybe I also went out and gave them, a myriad of other tasks that they weren't anticipating. And that I got these other tasks, and then that said, hey, I need this done. And they're probably assumption, but again, for a young crowd is so they said, okay, this guy said he needed this done by 10, but then he gives me more work. So I'll prioritize those and I'll let that 10 o'clock thing go because they're the one who gave me this task, but then they gave me two other tasks. So I'll go ahead and complete those. That's a good conversation to have, but we can only have that conversation if we can talk about perception and perspective, because the perception is that I don't care about deadlines. The perspective is that me as a leader, or whoever that leader was, wasn't prioritizing what was going on. you know, taking a step back was if that leader, you know, let's assume it was me. If I said, hey, I need A done by tomorrow at 10 a.m. and then later on in the afternoon, I give him B and C to do, I need to have that conversation. Be like, hey, I know I told you this needs to be done by tomorrow at 10, but I also need you to B and C. What do you think your timeline is going to be for completing all these? Can you get them all done by 10 o'clock? Or perhaps that other person, when hearing this task from me, says, okay, got it. I need you to do B and C. However, which is your highest priority? Because you gave me this one deadline of 10 o'clock tomorrow, and that's what I was going to move out on. Now we can start having this conversation. But we can have this conversation, and perhaps we can debrief this and take this up as lessons learned later because of our perspective and our perception. Because now we're going to have competing perceptions. Because the perception is that I'm, you know, that this person may not be able to get things done on time. That's a simple perception. But then from that person's point of view, the perception is, oh my gosh, this leader has no idea of prioritization. And what gets measured gets done. And we're not measuring the right things. That is perception. But maybe we can talk about perspective. And now maybe we can talk about, hey, this leader has a lot of stuff to get done. There's a lot on his mind. He's meeting deadlines too. Perhaps I have a responsibility to ask these questions to help them out. That if they give me, you know, give me a deadline for one task and they give me two other tasks, do I have the presence of mind enough to ask the questions about what is the priority and what is the timeline associated with all three of these things? That's one of those. And then the perspective of the leader, he's like, hey, this person didn't get it done on time. But at the same time, can I sit back and evaluate and again have the emotional intelligence to be, I put this person behind the eight ball. I told them one thing and said, this was a priority. I need this by 10 o'clock tomorrow. And then I give them two other tasks. It's not that this person, you know, can't finish a timeline. But have I given enough information to this person to understand which is a higher priority? And do they understand the timelines that are involved here and why? Can we have a conversation about that? So anyway, just some stuff to think about there. And a little bit all over the place as I start kind of giving different scenarios there. Some dogs are barking as I'm out for my walk. But think about this. Think about your understanding, again, of the difference between perception and perspective. Because perception is not reality. It's simply your truth and not the fact. So, anyway, I ran a little bit long today, but it's a good day. Now that the dogs are barking, I got to end this podcast. But I appreciate you tuning in. I hope you're having a great week already. I hope this finds you well. And this is Chachi, always reminding you to educate, anticipate, and dominate. We'll talk to you soon.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.